Dhamma is easily and readily available for everyone. However, not everyone is ready to understand the Dhamma and follow the Noble Path. Therefore, Dhamma is not for everyone. Some people live right in front of a Buddhist temple, but it never occurred to them the thoughts of crossing the road and enter to the temple to listen to a sermon. Yet, there are many other people who come from very far away, spending their time, money, and overcoming the distance and other difficulties to enter to this very temple to listen to a Dhamma talk, attend Dhamma classes, or participate in retreats. Some people are born into Buddhist families in traditional Buddhist countries, but they do not know who the Buddha is or what his teaching is. Like a blind man who will not realize a precious gem, even though if he were to stumble over a gem, these people remain throughout their life as blind, ignorant people who do not know the Dhamma. However, there are also some people who are born to non-Buddhist families in non-Buddhist countries. They are coming from different religious and cultural traditions who have different views. Yet, these people, by their innate nature, through kind of instinct, they are looking for light. Like sunflowers that turn towards the sun to receive the light, these human beings, no matter where they are born, they still will look towards the Buddha to receive the light of the Dhamma. So Dhamma is not for everyone, even though it is available for everyone. Immediately after the Enlightenment, the Buddha spent a few weeks enjoying bliss and happiness of Nibbana. Eventually, he came to a point and asked the questions from himself. Should I teach this Dhamma to other human beings, or should I remain silent? At that very moment, Buddha thought, this Dhamma is so profound, so deep, so difficult to understand. The human beings are full of defilements. They will not understand the Dhamma. If I were to teach the Dhamma, it will be only wearisome. At that instant, his mind inclined towards not to teach. But it is said, Brahma Sahampati, having known the thoughts of the Buddha's mind, immediately appeared in front of the Buddha and pleaded with him, saying, there are some human beings who are with little dusts in their eyes, who are able to comprehend the Dhamma. So Buddha started to teach the Dhamma for the benefit of these people who are with little dusts in their eyes. Who are these people? These are the people who have developed their spiritual faculties, faith, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. Buddha, using his supernormal abilities, surveyed the entire human world and perceived the human beings as lotuses in a pond. Like lotuses in a pond are in a different stage of development, human beings are also in different levels of spiritual maturity and development. Some of the lotuses are much closer to the surface of the water. They just need only sun rays, and they will come out from this water and bloom into beautiful lotus flowers. So these are the people who are with little dusts in their eyes. However, Dhamma is a path of transformation. Therefore, even though you are having much dust in your eyes, Dhamma can still transform you to be a compassionate and wise human beings. So Buddha taught throughout his life, for all walks of life, for those people who are having little dust in their eyes, as well as those who are having much dust in their eyes. However, there are some fundamental qualities which are necessary to realize the Dhamma. Not every human being is capable of realizing this Dhamma. Among many qualities, there are two fundamental qualities which are prerequisites, which are unique and indispensable. One of them is faith, the other one is wisdom, intellectual capacity. Faith is primary and most important. When you have faith, you will lend your ears and you will listen. When you listen, you will hear the Dhamma. When you hear, you will understand. When you understand, you will start to follow the path. But if you do not have faith, you will not lend your ears, you will not listen, therefore you will not understand or practice the path. It is like, suppose we were to overturn a cup, keep it upside down, and were to pour water on it. And by this way, we cannot fill up the cup. Exactly in the same manner, when you do not have faith, there is no way for you to listen to the Dhamma and understand and practice. Buddha compared faith to a seed. He said, Saddha Bijang. Faith is like a seed. The seed eventually must sprout out to a plant, and eventually it should grow to a tree and bear flowers and fruits. Exactly in the same manner, the faith eventually must give birth to understanding and wisdom. But without a seed, a plant or a tree or a fruit cannot be expected. Exactly in the same manner, without faith, it is impossible to expect the wisdom to come. Buddha also recognized faith as a great power. He said, Saddhaya tarati ogham. With faith, one can cross the ocean of repeated birth and death cycle. When we have faith, we have the vigor, ability, dedication to cross beyond this samsaric ocean and achieve the enlightenment. So faith is very essential. Second important factor is wisdom. To understand this Dhamma, we need to have some degree of intellectual capacity. Not every human being can understand the Dhamma. Buddha, in clear terms, says, Panyavantasayang Dhammo Nayang Dhammo Duppanyasa. Dhamma is for wise people, those who have intellectual capacity. Dhamma is not for those people who do not have intellectual capacity. When we recite the virtues of the Dhamma in our traditional verses, like we did a while ago, we come across the words, Paccattang Veditabbo Vinyuhi. Dhamma should be realized directly by the wise people individually themselves. So wisdom or intellectual capacity is essential here. Without the necessary intellectual capabilities, Dhamma understanding or practicing the Noble Path is impossible. So these two factors are very, very essential: faith and wisdom. If you have these two factors, even though you have much dust in your eyes, still you can transform yourself to be an enlightened human being. Now, taking this faith and wisdom, if you were to look at the human beings, we can broadly categorize them into four groups. First group of human beings, they are intellectually disabled human beings. These human beings cannot understand or practice the Dharma because they do not have intellectual capacity. Second group of human beings, they are intellectually capable, they are highly intelligent, but they do not have faith. Even though they have the ability to realize the Dhamma, since they do not have faith, they will not come to know this Dhamma. Some of these highly intellectual individuals, maybe their mind is preoccupied, and when you are a materialist, for example, and you will shun away from all the spiritual and religious beliefs, so you will shut your mind completely. Or it is possible you are highly intellectual, but your mind is preoccupied by another religious belief or views, and you do not want to think anything further than that. So these people, even though they are intellectually capable of realizing the Dhamma, since their mind is preoccupied, and since they are not ready to listen with open mind and understand, they do not have faith. It is like, suppose there is a cup which is full of water, and even though you were to try to pour some more water into it, the water simply will overflow because the cup is already full. There's no way that you can fill up this cup anymore. Third group of people. These are the people who have deep faith in the Triple Gems. They have faith, but they do not have necessary intellectual capacity. But there is a good news to this group, these people. Even though they do not have intellectual capacity, because of their faith, they will listen to the Dhamma and they will try to understand the Dhamma. And this struggle to understand the Dhamma eventually bring forth the result, which is Dhamma understanding. That might happen in this life itself, or sometimes it might happen in few lives' time. But however, since they have faith and they are open-minded to listen to the Dhamma, the fourth group of human beings, they are the ideal ones. These are the human beings who have both faith, at the same time, intellectual capacity. These human beings can understand the Dhamma, they can practice the Dhamma. And if they work diligently, they can even break through the delusion and attain enlightenment. Other than these two primary qualities, what are the other necessary qualities to realize this Dhamma. Dhamma is for those people who have common sense and questioning mind. Many human beings have common sense. They also have the ability to question. But many of these human beings, when it comes to religions, they lose their common sense and questioning ability, and they accept religious dogmas out of blind faith. However, Dhamma is not for these people. If you were to realize the Dhamma, you still must maintain your common sense and the spirit of questioning. Suppose, friends, if someone want to be an engineer or a doctor or a successful businessman, how he should work for it. When we want to do such kind of things, we will use our common sense. And we will have a practical approach. Now, I will come to this point later, but let's take the first aspect of it, which is common sense and questioning. In day-to-day life, you will use your common sense and ability to question to decide things for you. If you were to sign for a document, before you sign that document, you will go through it. You will read it, you will question it, you will understand it before you sign. When you want to buy something, you will go to the market, you will ask the questions, investigate, and then only you will decide. When you want to buy even a fruits, at that moment you might question or ask certain questions from the fruit seller. But when it comes to religious beliefs, many people do not question. However, if you want to realize the Dhamma, you should still maintain your common sense and the questioning ability. Dhamma should not be accepted out of blind faith. You should question the Dhamma. Like when a piece of gold is given to a goldsmith, he will cut it, rub it, and test it to make sure whether it is a genuine piece of gold or a fake one. Exactly in the same manner, when it comes to Dhamma, you must analyze it, scrutinize it, investigate. That's very essential. In famous Kalama Sutta, the Buddha says, do not believe anything just because it is coming down from generation to generation. Do not believe anything just because it is said by many people. Do not believe anything just because it is written in holy books. Do not believe anything just because it is said by a famous teacher or competent speaker, or it seems like logical. Then he stressed and emphasized that we must use our common sense. We must analyze, scrutinize carefully, And he says, when we use our common sense and questions and then understand that certain things are unwholesome, immoral, then we should give up them. But if you were to understand through your common sense, certain practices are wholesome, beneficial, then you should practice it. So Buddha is encouraging us to maintain our common sense and the spirit of questioning when it comes to Dhamma. We should not accept anything out of blind faith. So Dhamma is suitable for these people. Then the other aspect I said, Dhamma is not for those people who do not have common sense and a practical approach. As I said earlier, if you want to be an engineer or doctor or successful businessman, then you have to work for it. This is common sense. We all understand it. If you want to be an engineer, you will have to study. You need to have theoretical understanding. Then you need to have practical knowledge and experience before you become an engineer. When you want to be a doctor, in the same way, you need to have theoretical understanding, practical experience and knowledge before you become a doctor. So Buddha says, you must maintain the same ability when it comes to Dhamma practice. If you want to be born in the heaven, then be practical. There must be a practical approach. You cannot be born in the heaven through prayers, but by practice. You have to keep away from evil and cultivate the good. Then, without any religious denomination or barriers, you can be born in the heaven. If you want to be enlightened, then you need to practice the Noble Eightfold Path. Through prayers or chanting or any other religious rites and rituals, you won't be enlightened. So common sense and practical approach is very essential for Dhamma practice. Buddha talks about Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. Understanding, practice, and realization. This is where I said we need to have common sense at the same time, practical approach. So if you have this, then Dhamma is suitable for you. Dhamma is also not for lazy people. Dhamma is for energetic, striving people. Without striving effort, you will not realize the Dhamma and attain enlightenment. The Buddha says, Viriyena dukkhaṃ accheti, by working hard diligently, suffering can be ended. Enlightenment can be won. The Bodhisattva, before he sat under the Bodhi tree, he made a strong resolution and determination, thinking, let my blood and flesh dry up. I will not get up from this place until I achieve perfect enlightenment. We need to have such vigor, such determination, such striving ability to attain enlightenment. Without striving effort, it is impossible for us to realize the Dhamma and attain enlightenment. Another important aspect is, Dhamma is for those people who are self-reliant. When it comes to the Dhamma, the Buddha always encouraged us to rely on ourselves. He says, Tumehi kichang atappang akkataro tathagata. You should walk the path by yourself. The Buddhas are only teachers who show the path to enlightenment. When you are sick, you can go to a doctor and take medicines. But you must take the medicines for yourself to recover from that sickness. Doctor cannot take medicines on behalf of you. Exactly in the same manner, if you are suffering from the sickness of defilements, which is dukkha, and Dhamma is the best medicine, and the practice in the path is like taking these medicines, and then you will be cured. Without that, it is impossible to be cured. So self-reliance is very important. Buddha always encouraged the monks, saying, Atta dipa bhikkave viharata. Monks, be a light to yourself. Atta sarana, be a refuge to yourself. Ananya sarana, do not depend on external refuge. So here what he is emphasizing is, if you want to be enlightened, you have to work for it. No one else can achieve enlightenment on behalf of you. So Dhamma is suitable for those people who are self-reliant. And if you are expecting that you can be enlightened or be born in the heaven through the grace of the Buddha or any other supernatural being, and of course, Dhamma is not for you. Dhamma is like a map. If you want to go from point A to point B, you need to study the map. After studying the map, you must follow the map, walk the map to reach your destination. Exactly in the same manner, Dhamma has to be studied theoretically. But as long as you do not practice the Dhamma, then you are not walking along the road towards the destination to reach the goal. Dhamma is like a searchlight. In a dark night, you can use the searchlight to find your way. In the same manner, Dhamma is a searchlight. It's a torch to be used. In Alagadupama Sutta, Buddha compared Dhamma to a raft, a boat. He said, Kullupamang wo bhikkave dhammang desissami. Mittaranattaya no gahanattaya. Monks, I compare the Dhamma to a boat. The boat is for the purpose of crossing over the river to reach to the other side. It is not for the purpose of grasping. So Dhamma is to be used. Dhamma is not for grasping. No matter how much Dhamma you know, and as long as you do not practice it, and that may not bring much benefit. The Buddha compared those people who know much Dhamma but do not practice, they are like cowboys or cowherds. What I mean, those people who take care of the cows. The cows are belong to somebody else. You are just taking care of them. So you do not get the benefit from the cows. In the same manner, you are taking care of the Dhamma. You are preserving the Dhamma, but you are not practicing. In this way, friends, Dhamma is for those people who are self-reliant. Dhamma is not mean to kept in libraries, in the books. These libraries must be open and the Dhamma must be read and revealed and expounded. As the Buddha says, Vivatto virochati no paticchanno. As long as Dhamma is expounded, revealed, it will shine forth bright and brilliant. Dhamma will not shine forth when it is hidden, because this Dhamma is the ultimate reality of this existence. So friends, this precious Dhamma discovered by the Supreme Buddha 2500 years back is easily and readily available for each and every human being. However, not every human being is ready to understand this Dhamma and practice the noble path. Therefore, Dhamma is not for everyone. Perhaps, maybe you are one of those people who are having a little dust in your eyes. Being a human being, having come across these precious teachings, what should be done by a wise human being is to refrain from evil, wicked, immoral actions. Being a wise human being, what should be done by such a human being is to cultivate all the wholesome qualities. Being a wise human being, then, what should be done further to purify the mind by following the Noble Eightfold Path? And if you can practice in such a way, then sooner or later, when the right times comes, when the right conditionings arise, then we will break through the delusion and awaken to that supreme enlightenment. So that is the purpose of this precious Dhamma. So this much is enough as a talk, so we can open this for Q&A.